like to speak to you this morning about the death of three sons. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 32. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. Now in the book of Kings, turn to 1 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 4, 2 Kings 4, verse 14. This is Elisha speaking in this verse. And he said, what then is to be done for her, that is, this Shunammite woman, that built him a little room on her house with a table and a bed and a candlestick and a chair? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. In Psalm 22, as you know, this psalm is a messianic psalm. It is the cry of our Savior upon the cross. And in it, in verse 1, he asks, why his God hath forsaken him? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of all the people. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, let us know that as to dependence upon thee, we are no different this week than we were the last. Thou hast kept us and helped us hitherto. But the grace and strength that thou didst give yesterday are not sufficient for today, and so help us again. Father, thou art concerned about thy lambs and thy sheep being fed. And therefore, from thy word, by thy spirit, feed thy people. Speak to those who are not thy people, and may they all become thy sheep. Our Father, that this morning thy son might see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Bless us to this end, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. If you have ever read through this Bible, if you've searched it thoroughly, you will have discovered that all the men in the Bible, and women too, whose histories are given, when you consider them all, there are only two that that have never died. One of them is found in the book of Genesis. His name was Enoch. The other one was found in the book of Kings. His name was Elijah. But all the other men and women of the Bible whose histories are given to us from beginning to end were born, they lived, they had children, and they died. Because the Bible, just like the newspaper, has an obituary column. You'll find it in Genesis 5. What God pronounced so many years later in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this to judgment. It all was taking place from the day that sin entered into the world. It seemed for a long time that some men were going to defy this law that God had set into motion. Because there was a man named Adam, and he lived 930 years, but Adam died. And there was a man named Methuselah, and he comes to 931 years, 32, and he lives on and on and on until he's 969 years old. But Methuselah died. And after that, after these giants, as to longevity, reached out to live indefinitely, then men's lives became shorter and shorter. And you'll find that after Genesis 5, there is a definite divine law that is set into motion. Instead of 969 years, almost 1,000, God says in Genesis 6 that man's years shall be 120. What a removal, almost 800 years, more than 800 years removed from the lifespan of Methuselah. And then in Psalm 90, God shears off some more of those years. And Moses, in writing a psalm, says that man's years shall be 70. And so man, whom God originally intended to live forever in communion and bliss with him, had started to die. At first, he lived a great length of days, and sin caused God to shorten his days. And sin caused God to shorten his days yet again. And now, 70 years. If a man lives 70 years, he has no complaints in the sight of God. But I wonder if you noticed that the death of these three sons, of whom I read, none of them, perhaps with the exception of Absalom, reached the age of 40. According to a reading in the life of Absalom, perhaps he died before he was 40 years old. There was a child, the Shunammite son. He was a little lad, and he died. And God's son was just a little over 30 years old, and he died. And Absalom was just a young man, and he died. And God is trying to teach us from these scriptures. He's trying to teach you young folks this morning, because you don't think that you're going to die. 1 in 10,000 ever is gripped by the fact that death is staring them in the face. The seeds of death are planted in your heart, and you shall in no wise escape. And what God is seeking to teach us from the death of these three sons is this, that death comes suddenly, that it comes unexpectedly, and it comes sooner than a man thinks that it's going to come. Here is this child. He goes out to the field one day to see his father reaping his grain, just like little boys like to go and watch their fathers, whatever they might be doing. And this child is suddenly smitten with a sunstroke. And in a few moments, that child that was alive and viral and running out to play, and his father could speak to him, and he didn't know the seriousness of it, take the child home to his mother. That child is dead. And you young folks aren't intending to die. You think of 70. But God says that is the general allotment. And any years over that, labor and toil. But God has not promised you 70 years. Some of you might not reach your 20s. The Lord Jesus only reached his 30s. God is trying to tell us in his word that death comes sometime sooner than 969 years. Because some of you are expecting to live that long. Because God's word says prepare. God's word says set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And yet you don't believe God. You think that men like Absalom die, and men like Jesus die, and children die, but you are not going to die, but you are going to die, and almost everyone dies sooner than they expect. Even though they live over 100 years, they die sooner than they expect. That happened only a few weeks back. I heard of a woman that was 103 years old. She seemingly was in perfect health, but she had a fall, and in a few days, she died. And therefore, God warns us in his word that though some live a great length of days, some die sooner. And God would have you to set your house in order, because I shall die and not live. God warns us from these people of whom we have read. God tells us in his word that there are no exceptions. Not only does death come suddenly, not only does death come unexpectedly, but death is no respecter of persons. Each of these sons that died was the son of a man or a woman of repute. Ask Absalom, who is your father? He would say, David the king is my father. And yet Absalom, a king's son, died. And ask Jesus Christ whose son he is. And he will say, I am God's son. And God's son died. Why do you think that there shall be an exception in your case? Why is it that men are beclouded by Satan, the god of this world? Why is it that they do not come to grips with this thing called death and settle the thing that puts sting into death, that causes tears to be shed? Because if there were only such a thing as death and that was the end, I would only shed tears one time. But God's word has told us in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. And so we cry for men two times. Once because they were friends, and we love them, and we shall see their faces no more in this life. And some of our friends are unsaved, and we shed tears for them because they are gone, parted from our company. And not only so, we shall never see them in this life, nor in the life to come, the judgment. And therefore, God is telling us to set our house in order, because death is no respecter of persons. It comes upon the young, and it comes upon the old, and yet you old persons have lingered so long, and you are not right with God. You have not turned from your sins. You have not trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And because of that, somebody shall shed tears twice when you die. And you shall break someone's heart, because they shall weep for you, and they shall be inconsolable, because they know where your body is. But I'm afraid that they also know where your soul is. That rich man, he had an elaborate funeral. But Jesus Christ tells us where that man's soul was. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. And if you were only going to die, and that was the end, and your body was going to be put away, I would shed a few tears for you, and that would be the end. But I think of you after you have left this life and gone into the next. Because this man whose body was buried still had eyes. And God says all of us have eyes. Two sets of eyes. The eyes in our head and the eyes of our heart. That conscience, that soul, that thing that is aware of what is going on even after we leave this shell, this earthen vessel in which God has placed our souls and our spirits. Therefore, God warns all men to flee, not only from the wrath to come that shall affect our bodies, but also to flee from the wrath to come that shall envelop our souls eternally when we leave this life and go into the next. And you old ones shall not live the age of Methuselah. You're going to die, and yet you linger. And some of you who are unsaved, you've heard the call of Jesus Christ. You've heard it as Isaiah the prophet speaks of the arms of God. He says, I have stretched out mine arms all day long to a sinful and rebellious people. And you go on in your sin. And Jesus Christ has warned you, you who in your old age are trusting to live another year. And you who in your sin are trusting in the mercy of God, but not through Jesus Christ. Let me warn you that Jesus Christ has already made pronouncement about you in your sin. He said to the Pharisees, if you believe not that I am that promised Messiah, that I am God's Son sent from heaven, you shall die in your sin. And where I am, you cannot come. God's mercy shall not save you if you die in your sin. And God's love shall not remove that gulf that is permanently fixed between the abode of the blessed and the abode of the damned. And yet some of you old ones say, I shall live another year. There will be time in the future. And some of you old ones who say, perhaps I shall die sooner than I expect. But God is merciful. God is love. Jesus Christ has told you in advance, and he shall tell you again to your face when you stand before him. He told those on his left hand in Matthew 25, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Depart into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I have heard the voice of the Son of God speak in tones of love, but I have heard him in advance tell what his pronouncement shall be upon those who die in their sin. I have heard him speak to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day, and this is what he has told them. If you accept me not as the Messiah, if you don't entrust your soul to my keeping, you shall die in your sins. This is God's warning to you who are trusting in his mercy, that you are not going to trust his Son as Savior. And God would warn you young people that Absalom died, that Jesus Christ died, that the Shunammite's son died, and death is no respecter of persons. So there is only one thing to do, and that is why God's exhortation in 2 Corinthians is this: now is the appointed time. Now is the day of salvation. Why does God say that? Because Absalom did not live a day longer to get his soul right with God. Because the Shunammite's son did not live a day longer to have his soul right with God. A miracle intervened. Perhaps he did. God knows. But he was cut off in his youth. And God would have us to understand from these three concerning your sin as well as theirs. They all died. They were so much alike. Look at Absalom, a dead man. Look at the Shunammite's son, a dead man, younger, but still in the same condition as Absalom. And look at Jesus Christ, a dead man. God would have us to look upon them all. But their deaths were under such different circumstances. Their deaths were caused by such different needs. And they died in three distinct ways. Because that child died in his innocence. And pity died. And Absalom died in his sin. But still Absalom died. And Jesus Christ died in his sinlessness. But still he died. God is teaching you, you who do not believe in the passing on of original sin, God is warning you through these individuals of whom we have read that whether you accept it or not, by one man, sin has entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men. Old men like Methuselah, and young men like the Shunammite son. God is telling you this. And some people resist it, and some people deny God. They say there is no such thing as a supreme being, one that created me. And yet God waits. and there is no way to escape in the hands of the living God. The author of Hebrews says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so what God does is this. All of you who say there is no God, or this God will not bring me into judgment, God simply waits. And the time comes sooner or later, and then God finds you in His presence. And now you do not stand before Him as His critic, as one who denies Him, because you shall look into the eyes of the Son of God, whose name you have taken in vain, whose very existence you have doubted, that He created the heavens and the earth. And you shall stand before Him. And we cannot escape from God. That is what He's teaching us. God has taught us that whether we believe it, whether we accept it or not, still sin has entered into the world, and death by sin. And death has passed upon all men, and death has passed on you. This child in his innocence has died. And if I were an unbeliever, I would lift up my fist and shake it in the face of God and curse Him that an innocent child would be taken out in his youth. But Absalom was an entirely different individual. And I'm afraid that most of you this morning are like Absalom. Perhaps the children, the innocent ones, are downstairs. I did not say the sinless ones, the innocent ones. But let's look at these men. Absalom is hanging in a position very similar to the son of God when he died. Absalom was hanging in an oak tree by his head. It doesn't say his hair, but he was riding, and you've seen a thong fork of a tree. And as he's riding along, perhaps he looked back to see if the enemy was close, and as he did, he ran into a tree, and his head caught between the two boughs. And he's left hanging between heaven and earth, and his mule runs on out from underneath. And one of his enemies, the Israelites, one of the followers of David, goes and tells Joab about it. And Joab says, "Why didn't you put him to death?" He said, "Because Absalom is loved by his father David." And Joab says, "I can talk no more with thee about this matter." And he takes three spears, and as Absalom is hanging alive in that tree, he takes them, and he sticks those spears in his heart. He pierces them. And then 10 of his armor bearers fall upon Absalom and slay him, put him to death. And there he is, hanging between heaven and earth. And I have not shed one tear as I see that man hanging there with those spears in his heart and with his mutilated body. Why? Because he is one man that's dead. But Absalom was a murderer. And Absalom was a man who dishonored his father. Absalom was a man who would dethrone his father if it were in his power. And not only so, but you walk around the battlefield and you'll find 20,000 Israelites that are dead because Absalom said, "I shall dethrone my father." And thousands in their simplicity went out and followed this wicked, dishonorable son. They went out and followed him, and now their bodies lie strewn over the land. A battle. And I look at him and I shed no tears. Why? Because that man sinned and he deserved everything that came upon him. And you are no exception. Your sins are not as multitudinous as Absalom's, and yet you have consciously sinned against your God. And in the coming days, this is the remarkable thing, in the coming days when you are in the lake of fire, all of those people that loved you most shall praise God, and instead of shedding tears for you being cast eternally from the presence of God, they shall lift their face to God and say, "Righteous and true are thy judgments." They shall put their stamp of approval upon your being eternally separated from God. Why? Because God has so loved the world that He has sent His only begotten Son. God has seen you in your sins and in your lost condition. And God says, "I so love them, even though they are sinners, that I shall send my Son into the world to die for those sins." Believe on Jesus Christ. Be redeemed from your sins. And all of us who know of you sinners, who had the same opportunity that we did, to trust that Savior that bled on the cross, not only for us who are saved,
that he died just as much for your sins as he did for ours. He is the Lord that bought not only us, but he also bought them that deny him. In heaven we shall look upon you, and we shall say to God, holy and righteous and true are thy judgments, and not one tear shall be shed. Because you have denied the holy and righteous one. You have trampled underfoot the blood of the Son of God. You have done this fight to God's Son who left heaven and came and died for your sins. And God shall have no compassion upon you then. And we shall have no tears to shed for you then. We shed tears now. We weep for you, Christ, who insists in continuing in your sins. We weep for you that you were cut off in your youth. And we weep for you that you go to an eternal hell. And at the same time, in the coming days, God shall wipe away all tears, and we shall understand why there is a heaven and why there is a hell. But right now, God is toward you, as David was toward Absalom. Absalom's his enemy, a son that would have murdered a father. And yet when he died, David walked up and down and cried aloud, Absalom, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son. And it reminds me of another king whose name was Jesus Christ, the Lord. And he looked upon Jerusalem, that very city that was going to put him to death, and he shed bitter tears over it. And he said on an occasion, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thy children together, preserved them, delivered them not only from their sins, but also from the bondage and punishment from Rome. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a chicken gathers her little bitty under her wings, and you would not, your house is left unto you desolate. And Jesus Christ will be for you now. And God will weep for you now, but understand this, that all of David's tears did not keep Absalom from dying a death of ignominy and shame. And all the tears that Jesus Christ has shed on the cross, and all the precious blood that has flowed from his veins that your sins might be forgiven, all of those things shall be of no avail to keep you from dying and to keep you from going to the lake of fire if you do not trust him as your Savior. Absalom let fall, the heart of David bereaved, almost inconsolable. And yet Absalom died. A king's son, young and strong and powerful. And yet Absalom died, and David weeps, and he pleads and wishes that he could die in his stead. Why? Because he knew Absalom's spiritual condition. He knew the place to which Absalom would depart. David could say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But he could not look upon that son of his now cast into a pit as some animal and great stones heaped upon him. He could not look at his son and say, the Lord is Absalom's shepherd and he shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And therefore David could wish to die in the stead of his son, but he could not. And if I loved you to such an extent that I was willing to die for you, I could not do it because I can in no wise redeem my brother. David was willing to die for Absalom, his son, but David could not die for another. And Saul was willing to die for the children of Israel. He said, I could wish myself a curse for my brethren after the flesh. But he knew it would be no good. There is only one man who can die for another, and his name is Jesus. And he has done that. David could not die for Absalom. But Jesus has died for such as Absalom. Jesus has died for you. You are the sinner, and as I look upon you in your sin, I weep because I've known you, and I know some friends that were unsaved that I've loved, and they have died, and I can weep for them twice because they have left this life, and because I know where they're going in the next, unless some miracle took place that I knew not of, I can weep for them. And God would have you to be saved today. You are like Absalom. But look at this other child. As I see that little boy, he's been out in the field watching his father reap the wheat, bringing his crop behind the harvest. And he's taken home, and this little child is taken in his mother's arms and placed upon her lap. And he sits there, cries out, his head is pained, a violent headache that struck him. He stayed in his mother's arms upon her lap until noon, and then he died. What could break a mother's heart any more than that? To have a child die, run away from it, but to have that child in your arms and to die. And I look at that child as his death, and I have sympathy. I shed tears, because sin has entered into the world. And God would have you to understand that motions that he has begun shall never be terminated until there is the regeneration, until there is a new heaven and a new earth. God wants you to know that. God has seen many tears shed, and God has permitted them, and yet man persists in going on in his sin. And he weeps as his child is in his arms dead, and he lifts his eyes to heaven, and he says, why, why? And God tells you it's because of sin. That is why children die. Perhaps this child didn't know his right hand from his left. Perhaps this child had not reached the age of accountability, small enough to sit in his mother's lap and die. And yet this child died, and God is saying, sin brought that about. And you see what sin is doing to the world. It causes sickness, it causes pain. And this child is a picture of innocent mankind suffering. Because not only the wicked suffer as Absalom, but also the innocent suffer. And he cries out, my head, the pain, the agony, the suffering of mankind. And God says, it is your fault. God puts the blame upon us. And yet we see this child die, and our hearts are broken. And the child is put away, and then we return to our sin. We have cursed God because of a sin that we not only have been involved in, but we have practiced. And then we curse God because he passes a judgment upon us. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. God would have us to know that the innocent suffer. And only those that find refuge in Christ shall ever be able to understand the innocent as suffering. But most important of all, the sinless one has suffered, Jesus Christ. He never asked his God but one question, and that was in the last few moments of his life. He asked, why his God has forsaken him? It's not why art thou about me, says he, but why hast thou forsaken me? And I only quote a scripture. This is the most sacred of ground. But Peter tells us, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And God would have us to know that Jesus Christ himself has died. As I look at Absalom, I say, you deserve to die. As I look at that innocent child, I say, you are simply a member of the human race, a fallen race. Even though you don't deserve to die, I can understand that the wages of sin is death. But as I look upon Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, it is inconceivable. I cannot fathom why he has to die. And yet God has decreed that all men die. It is appointed unto men once to die. King's son died, and God's son died, and you shall die. Now, Father, we pray that looking upon the lives of these, the young, the wicked, the sinless, that we shall understand that this is our common lot, and that we shall die. Help us, our Father, to be cleansed from our sins by the precious blood of Christ, so that when we do die, as Stephen, we can say, I see heaven open, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Father, let there be no sorrow, inconsolable sorrow when we die, that may we take courage knowing that our loved ones have simply departed from our arms into the arms of Jesus. Say so, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.